Peace and all good from Franciscan Media. I'm Father Jim Sabak, and this is the Inbreaking of the Word. So we've come once again to a full circle to the end of one liturgical year and now to the beginning of another liturgical year. So without sounding trite or anything else like that, Happy New Year. It is for us a New Year's Day, a New Year's season, a New Year's week that we embark onto. Long before the civil world moves into New Year's on January 1, we as believers always move into a new year on the first Sunday of Advent. So beginning Saturday night on November the 30th, November the 29th, it's November the 30th, the first Sunday of Advent. November the 29th, we launched into the year of Matthew, leaving behind the year of Luke, which has served us well. We now move towards the kind of original series of readings that the church held to for many centuries. Before there was a three-year cycle of Matthew, Mark, and Luke that came in with Vatican II, there was Matthew. And why? Well, because Matthew was thought to be the oldest of the gospel or the first of the gospels written, which is why it is first in the New Testament canon. That has long been disproved. Actually, Mark is perhaps the first of the gospels that was written, but he comes second in the canon because they didn't want to switch everything else around. But recognizing the fact that Matthew was only one view of Christ, as they always knew, and was not the first gospel written, we moved into a three-year cycle after the Second Vatican Council. But now we come to what the church would have heard for centuries. Matthew's gospel proclaimed every year, and now we get to hear it this year of 2025 into 2026. And as Advent always places us, it puts us into two worlds, the world that is to come, the fulfillment of God's promises, as well as the world that has already come, this birth of Christ in history, and where we live now in between those two epochs, believing again that God's promises still await fulfillment. And we are to yearn for that and to search for that and to keep vigil for that all throughout our lives. And so that's kind of where Matthew's gospel, or these readings for this first Sunday of Advent place us, even Matthew's gospel places us. The whole idea about being awake, waking up, realizing what's important, realizing what matters, realizing that while the world throws all kinds of curveballs at us, it is very important to remember what we ourselves believe as believers in the world, as people who attach ourselves to Christ, who attach ourselves to the life of God in this world. What is it that we hold true? What is it that we manifest day after day of God's promises to us? And how does that manifestation of God's promises continue to ensure for us a future, a destiny? Because that's what Advent constantly beats into our minds, into our hearts every year, that we are not people left alone and abandoned, that we are not people left to our own defenses. They were not just basically trying to scratch out an existence somehow, some way, and hopefully some will make it, while many perhaps won't. That is not what we believe. That is never what we believed as believers, as Christians within this world. We believe that God has a destiny for each of us, and God has a destiny for this world, that God has given us to make something out of, a livable world where everyone knows their place, a place that is valued, a place that has worth, a place that has meaning. There is nothing that is unimportant or insignificant if it comes from the hand of God. And Advent constantly reinsures that for us. It constantly reaffirms it for us, and it tries to impress it upon our lives again and again and again. And so that first reading, again, from Isaiah, the understanding of a mountain, which everyone wants to get to, everyone wants to become a part of because of the party that is being held on that mountain. And everyone who is going to enjoy life and enjoy themselves within that life will stream towards that mountain. And nothing should ever stop us from being able to reach that mountain that belongs to God, in which God's wonder, in which God's glory can be given to us. Then the second reading from Romans, which is a little bit different. Well, it tells us again to wake up and to realize that salvation is at hand, our redemption is at hand. It also tells us to be careful of earthly pleasures. Well, that mountain was filled with earthly pleasures. And so this is where Paul, again, as we looked at a couple of months ago, when he writes that letter to the Romans, is trying to basically deal with the Romans, perchance, for a wonderful fleshly life, a wonderful life of desire, a wonderful life that really expresses our humanness, perhaps in too great a form or in too great a shape. And so Paul is always telling the Romans to just reel it back, reel it back, reel it back. And so this is kind of where this leads us, where to know that our redemption is at hand, Paul says in Romans, but don't give yourselves over to having too much fun. Don't give yourselves over to too much of the fleshly existence that you have been given, which again doesn't make any sense because we're supposed to enjoy this world that God has given us. Again, you cannot make a world out of creation without enjoying what it is that creation has to give us. Don't get out of hand. Yes, don't go whole hog. Yes, maybe you can restrain somewhat. But in this time of the year in which everyone is basically living to excess in one way or another, we are asked to kind of think about, you know, well, what does this excess lead us to? And why are we dealing with excesses in our lives at this time of the year? Is it to share what it is that this world has given us with as many people as possible? Or is it trying to be selfish so that we only enjoy things to the exclusion of others? That is wrong. That is bad. But where we can enjoy the bounty of this world and the world's goodness and its wonder and its beauty, well, that is something, again, that points to God's blessing, that points to God's goodness within us and allows us to see, again, the unfolding and the fulfillment of God's promises constantly, you know, in front of us and constantly around us. And then we have Matthew's gospel, you know, which again, kind of talks again about an end of the world, you know, situation. An end of the world, you know, situation in which, again, some people are taken, others are left. Don't get into rapture business. Don't get into any of that other kind of weird ridiculousness because it kind of is ridiculous in so many ways. But the understanding is always that if you're not awake and aware, if you are not vigilant, if you're not in tune with what it is that God is doing in this world, you may miss the wonder and beauty of this world unfolding in front of you. And you may think then this world is just a veil of tears. And that we are poor, you know, abandoned children, that we are the lost children of Eve, which is not what we are, nor do we live in a veil of tears. We live in a wonderful world, a world that God decides to enter in a fantastic, miraculous, wonderful way to share what it is that God has created with us who God has created. There can be no greater work that God does than in becoming one like us, in sharing the life that we live, and allowing us to experience the wonder and beauty of this world by holding God's hand and of journeying with God through the ups and downs of life, but knowing that God is always with us. Advent reaffirms that again and again and again, and we must be people with eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to feel where it is that God's promises are being fulfilled so that when that final fulfillment comes, we will stand ready with those who also have believed like us and be able to welcome God's promises, welcome God's fulfillment, welcome the destiny that God has in store for each of us. A blessed Advent season from Franciscan Media to all of you. May the Lord give you his peace.